Hello, folks. Thank you very much for the welcome here tonight, Colin. My name is Leslie Badger. I'm a police inspector away down on Banbridge, if you know where that is, way at the far end of the country from here. So it is. So it took me a while getting up here this evening. But I live in Tandragee, and I belong to Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. So that's a wee bit about my background. I do have a wife, and I do have four children. However, they have stayed at home this evening. The journey up the road now is a bit daunting for everyone. But however, that's who I am. I'm here tonight with a colleague of mine, Mark. Mark will introduce himself later. We've come tonight just to give a bit of an overview of what's happening in society and really in social media. I see it day and daily in my duties as I look after the areas of the Banbridge, part of the world, and more so in relation to the areas around Facebook, Twitter, and whatever else is out there. And there's much out there in relation to social media. Can you just have a show of hands who's on Facebook here? Yeah, quite a few of us on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Banbridge Police Station's on Facebook. If you went and looked at Coleraine Police Station would be on Facebook as well for the area. And on Twitter, because we put a lot of information out by Facebook, and I link into those to see what's happening around the countryside. Already mentioned, Facebook's a great tool. It's a great tool to have, and along with Twitter, in the right hands. But when it falls into the wrong hands, then that's where wickedness comes out. And Mark here will show you very, very soon what becomes of that and how it does be. Causes a lot of mayhem in the community, causes a lot of distress, and ends up with young people, in fact all ages of people, going before the courts for criminal offences. Mostly the offence of harassment. However, there is other offences there, including indecent images of people, and especially young people, when they started to distribute them around the countryside. Also, Mark and I are members of the Christian Police Association in Northern Ireland, and we will go around events like this, speaking to churches and youth groups, and to ladies' groups as well. And I'm going to have to maybe stand back a wee bit from that, because I haven't been in the house much as last while, as my wife reminds me. I need to spend the odd night about home as well. Because not only in my role as a police officer, I work shifts as well. So I do night shifts, I do evening shifts, I do day shifts, and I do middle shifts. So there's days I don't know whether I'm coming or going. So that's just my life, and that's how it all comes around. But we do get a lot of the first contacts that comes in the police stations comes in through what we call our uniform officers on the ground, our section people. And it's from there then, depending on the severity of the whether it's images or the harassment or whatever the bits and pieces are coming through in social media then, sometimes then we'll put it to specialist officers to look. But one of the things what we do, if we do get images or inappropriate activity on your mobile phone or tablet or whatever the case may be, what we can do then, we can seize that, and then your phone then becomes the property of the Police Service of Northern Ireland until we have that examined to see what's in the background. What we usually find once we take a phone into possession and have an examination of it, it usually opens up many, many other avenues for us to pursue and to look at. It's right across society. It's just not in particular one type of member of society is involved with. It's all over. Just recently in Banbridge Academy, we had an issue there of a young guy who took a photograph of himself and sent it out of himself in the shower, and it went around the countryside. Foolish young man for doing that, but it did happen, and it was only after some of his mates come back to him, it was on a social networking site, and then, the penny dropped big time. He thought he was sending it to a few of his mates. It didn't. It went around the countryside and went viral. Who's out there looking at those images? Well, we all know who's out there. There's people pretend to be young people, but they are not really young people. And however, that's where it comes into the paedophile area as well. So I'll not dwell too much more on that, but I just wanted just to make that highlight those dangers that are out there. Uniform police will, as I said, will initially deal with it coming through. And as I said, depending on the severity, then Mark's team maybe will come and have a look at it as well. Mark's, his realm and his main work is child protection and child abuse. So there, that opens up very much other avenues for us to look at. It can happen with parents as well, and not only young people. And whoever is already mentioned, many of our churches uses Facebook, Twitter, and it's a great tool to get messages out to people, but it's also a very divisive tool, and in the wrong hands causes much strife, much distress for local people out there, but also a very, very sinful world then opens up as well with that. You never know who's looking at your pages or profiles. What I would say to people is, keep your profiles very, very tight. Keep them very private. Because if you put it out there too much, then there's predators out there ready to jump on the bandwagon. However, I'm not going to take anyway more now from Mark. I'm going to let Mark come up here and explain. Mark has a presentation to give. Some of it, you'll get your eyes opened. So you will. But it's out there. And I think people within church communities are sometimes sheltered of what's going out in the bigger and wider community out and about. And also, it's worthwhile seeing what is actually happening out in your community. A lot of people think, oh, it never happens to me, or it never happens to anybody else, or within a particular area. But you never have to go too far to go and have a look to see what is happening in communities. And the best people placed to see what's happening in the communities is people like ourselves who are police officers or police staff. We see a lot of activity out there, so we do. That is certainly not scriptural and certainly not law-abiding at all. However, I'm going to hand over to Mark, and Mark, I'll ask you. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. I'm going to open this computer as well, because at least I can then see the PowerPoint without having to turn around and lose the microphone. Just bear with me a second. I don't mind, I can take this jacket off. I'm going to speak for the next half hour or so. What's on there? Even better, look at that there. It's on the screen there, so I'm well covered. Before I start tonight, I want to open the Word of God and just read just two chapters. If you have your Bible with you, it's found in 1 Peter. And it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It's that wee sentence in verse 15. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy because I am holy. If you get nothing out of tonight, if you remember those words, be holy because I am holy. You know, if we're Christians here tonight, and I suspect most of us here are, you know, and we're living a Christian life. I love Genesis, going back to Genesis creation. We're created in God's image. We're made in God's image. We're Christians. We're children of God. God calls us to be holy. Be holy in every walk of life. And be holy in every walk of conversation. Tonight, I'm going to talk for the next half hour, 35, 40 minutes possibly, on social media. Social media is all about communication, and that's what I'm here tonight to do. But who am I? You know, I'm, as Leslie said, I'm Mark Lewis. I'm a police officer. I'm currently a detective sergeant in the child abuse unit in Lurgan Station. I've got roughly 9 DCs under me at the moment. Looking at serious sexual offences in Northern Ireland involving young people and serious physical offences on young people as well. I've been there in the child abuse unit for approximately 6 years. Before that, I worked in Lurgan CID for a few years, and before that, response in Portadown. So it's very challenging. It's very busy. Our work is very busy in the child abuse unit. Last year, we had almost 500 live cases of children being abused, anything from infants being raped up to 18-year-olds sending images and being groomed online and going abroad for that matter as well. So it's very diverse, and a lot of physical harm being done to children as well. If you imagine, we cover in Lurgan, we cover all of Armagh, Newry, the Banbridge area. So it's a good one, well, almost a quarter, if not a fifth, of Northern Ireland. If you multiply that times seven, that's roughly 3,500, almost 4,000 live cases last year in Northern Ireland of serious sexual offences involving young people. And a lot of that is online activity as well, which is the root cause of it. I was born in Carrickfergus, stayed there for about a year and a half. My parents decided to move to Austria as missionaries. I was brought up in Austria. They worked for ECM, European Christian Missions. And in those days, it was formerly Romania and Yugoslavia and the Eastern Bloc countries. I was brought up in an Austrian school system for my primary school years anyway, and I went to an international school out there. While I was in Austria, I was 7 years of age. I knew I needed a saviour, and I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and gave my life to the Lord. Do you know, as a young 7, 8, 9-year-old, then teenager, in those days it was difficult enough being a Christian for young people. It was hard enough. It's even more difficult these days for young people to be Christians. Do you know, my parents tried to protect me, and to a certain extent I was protected. Do you know, when I came back home, where I went to, they tried to watch where I went. These days, the world is coming into the household because of social media, and it's a lot more difficult, I believe anyway, as young Christians, to be holy, as God calls us to be at certain times. I came back here anyway, went to university, did my law degree, prayed a lot, and ended up in the police service in Northern Ireland. It's really a short version of my life. In the meantime, I got married. My wife is here. She wouldn't let me come here by myself tonight. I've got two young girls, Amy and Jessica. And we live in Banbridge. We go to Drumore Baptist Church. I'm involved there. I'm a youth leader in Drumore Baptist Church. I'm also involved in the praise group there. And as I said, it's good to be here tonight. I'm trying not to bore you tonight. And I said, if you have any questions afterwards, come and see me. Come and speak to me. I might not have the answers. And to be honest, there's a lot of young people here. It's good to see a lot of young people and old folk as well, older ones. The young ones especially could probably teach me a few things. And I might ask you a few questions later on. But anyway, social media. I've mentioned it here. What is social media? If I asked everybody here tonight what social media was, you'd probably give me all different sorts of answers. And to be honest, I didn't even know the right answer. And the right answer today will probably be a wrong answer tomorrow, because it's constantly evolving and changing in our society. But really, in a nutshell, you know, it's really communication. It's communicating about people around the world with people around the world. And it's done instantly these days. And it's people talking to each other, and we'll show you in a wee second by what means they can do that on. And it's not just talking to the world out there, but the world is talking back. And the world is talking back to you, back in your homes. If you've got Wi-Fi in your homes, then the world is talking to you as well. People out there will come into your homes through your devices and try and get your attention. And that's all this social media that's going on. Communication. People communicating. Images, videos, chats, texts, conversations, Skype calls. Now, these are all things I'm going to throw in a wee second with these as well. But it's just really a form of communication out there. And you can talk to anybody around the world, anywhere, if you have the right technology in your household. And within seconds, I've got a brother who lives in LA. And if I want to pick up my phone, I can chat to him. I can see him on my phone. And we can have a conversation. It doesn't even cost me anything. It's free these days as well, half that stuff. But that's what social media is really in a nutshell. You know, it's built up in different sections here. And you've got virtual worlds. You've got games. There's people online with games. Do you know who plays Call of Duty here? Any of the young ones? I'm not going to admit it. Do you know there's Call of Duty games? There's all these different games that young people especially play with. In my day, I had Atari, and you had the Atari games, and you played Pong and things like that there. These days, you're playing people around the world. You're playing your friends in school. Minecraft is out there as well, another online thing. Do you know, people are playing their friends in school and playing people around the world and meeting up with them and befriending them. MMOs are massive multiplayer online games. Millions and millions of people playing those games. There's publishing things out there, Wikipedia, where people can update things while you're there. There's discussion forums. There's live streams, microblogs. I'm not going to bore you today with all that stuff there. It's all part of the social network system we've got out there. And social networks, that one there at the bottom, bottom right there, or your left, or my left, sorry. That's Facebook and all the different social media things relating to Facebook, which we'll look at later on this evening. But that's sort of the landscape of social media. As I said, that's probably outdated already. That was done 6 months ago. If you looked at it again next year, you've probably multiplied tenfold what's going on out there in the social media network. So what does the Bible say about social media? I'm going to throw up different Bible verses as I go along here. And it says there in Deuteronomy, "And thou shalt teach them diligently," this is the young people now, "unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up." Now, I know we've got young people here. It's very divided, I think, at the moment. We've got the slightly mature ones. I'm on that side here. Do you know, slightly mature ones, we have got God's calling us here to teach our young people. Do you know, we have a responsibility. If you're a parent, a grandparent here tonight, a youth leader here tonight, if you're a teacher, do you know, we've got a responsibility to teach our young people. Teach our young people of the dangers of what's going on out there. You know, and of the good things too. You know, it's not all going to be doom and gloom tonight. You know, I've got Facebook at home as well. I do use it. You know, it's just to be careful of what we do and sort of draw your attention to what can happen out there in that. But if you are, you know, in the bracket of being that slightly more mature, you know, as a mature people, we have to educate and guide our young people. You know, it says here too in Proverbs, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." The best teaching any young person can have is through the Word of God. You know, that's why we're here tonight. This is probably your second, maybe even third, maybe even fourth service today. You know, we're here because we want to worship God, we want to praise God, we want to glorify God. But, you know, it doesn't stop on a Sunday. It starts on a Monday as well. You know, do we teach our young people from the Scriptures? Do we spend time with our young people reading the Bible? You know, we have a responsibility and God calls us to do that. And I hope that we do that. And I'm sure, myself included, could do that more than I currently am doing that. You know, we have a responsibility. But young people here, you know, sorry to tell you this here, and my kids are here too. You know, it says there in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right." You know, if you've got godly parents, young people, you know, God calls us to be obedient to your parents. And sometimes parents ask us to do things we don't really want. But generally speaking, it's in the best interest. You know, and if you're doing things and your parents are concerned about you doing things, and they say to you, "Turn that computer off, turn that TV off, give me your phone," generally speaking, they should have your best interest at heart. You know, and you know, you have to listen to your parents. And you might wrestle with them today and think, you know, they didn't even know what they're talking about. It wasn't that bad on my phone. I didn't, that picture I took, nobody really saw it. You know, young people especially, listen to your parents. They've gone through life, you know, especially if they're Christians, you know, listen to them. Another commandment of God is to listen to your parents. So what about this communication? It's all about talking to each other and communicating. Long gone are the days of tin cans and the wee rope. And, you know, I'm going to show you a couple of wee slides here to know of different ways we communicated. Any of the young folk here, what are those? Remember those? They're called letters. You know, some of us might not have even seen these. You know, at Christmas time, we get Christmas cards. You might get the odd birthday card. But when, even the adults now, when's the last time you actually wrote down and wrote a letter and sent it to your friend, a family member, a parent? I can't remember when the last time was I did it. You know, but in my day, when we lived in Austria, if I wanted to send something to my grandparents in Northern Ireland on the Woodstock Road, you know, it had to be a letter or a very, very, very expensive phone call. And we sent letters. If we wanted to send a picture, we had to take a picture in the camera and put it into the envelope and send that across. It took almost a week to get from Austria to Northern Ireland. That's what we used in those days. Another one, telephone. You know, that's what it looked like. In Leslie's days, not in my days, you know. And we have a wee place up in Port Stewart. We stayed there last night. But I was in Port Stewart there about 6 months ago, and we went into the electric store in Port Stewart, and they're starting to sell these phones again. Maybe you've seen them. All these retro phones are making a big comeback again. And I think I mentioned the last meeting, and was that with Leslie? And I went in with my daughter Jessica here, and I showed her this phone, this exact phone. And I said to her, "Look, this is what we used to have when we were younger." And she looked at it. And I said, "Look, dial our home number there." She took this phone, as that phone there is, and she started dialing the number. And she pressed the buttons on it. Didn't know when I thought himself, you know. I didn't even know how to use this old phone. You know, it's one of these phones you have to actually dial and turn the dial around. But you know, things have changed from my day to now. You know, things have got very much more advanced with it. And over the years, I remember my first mobile phone. Maybe you do. You know, one of these big massive things you held up to your ear. You know, and it's, you could phone, you could text, and that's the height of it. It cost something like £20 a month. I remember a Nokia one, and it was shaped like a banana, and you pulled it out, and it came out. It's not one of those up there. But you couldn't do much more than just text and phone on it. Then computers. Growing up with computers, again, this generation here, tend to remember some of the Amstrad computers. I was brought up with the Commodore 64. To know these are all computers that we had. They had a tape deck. If I wanted to play a video game, guys, I had to stick a tape on. Went down to buy a tape, stick the tape in. There's a tape in that one there as well. Had to wait probably 25 minutes, half an hour to get the game going. Half the time it spent, it probably actually didn't work half the time. I had to put it back in again. But we had to wait half an hour to get it going. And there were small games like you see on the screen there. To know games that I played by myself in my bedroom. There was no connection with anybody else out in the outside world. But what about today? What have I got now? If anybody now took their phone out and showed me their phones, chances are it's not one of these big, massive Nokia ones they had 25 years ago, 10 years ago even. It's these new smartphones that they have. Now, these smartphones no longer just are used for chatting on the telephone, as many of you know, no longer just used for texting, but they're all now full of applications to connect to different parties outside there. And these parties outside there, out on the web we call it, out on the internet, can connect back to your phone. And are connecting back to your phone right now through your 3G, 4G possibly. I don't know if it's web or internet in this church here, but if it's connected to the internet, it's connecting to your phone. Companies, people out there are speaking to you right now through your phone. You're getting the emails, the spam mails through as we speak. Computers have also changed. We've got PCs, Macs. All the computers these days are all geared to connect to the internet. No longer do they want you just to have a computer like this here sitting by itself. It's all geared. It's Wi-Fi in this computer here. Find a connection. Get out there. Communicate to the world. Social media. Get involved. That's what they want us to do. And it's very hard. You're not going to find a computer these days that can't connect to the internet. You're going to find it very difficult. iPads as well. You know, when I went to the doctor years ago, the doctor gave me tablets because I was sick and gave me iPads if I couldn't see properly. Now we use tablets to get online and we use iPads as well. You know, changing environment. And as I said, if I come back here in 10 years' time, it'll be changed again. You know, I'll be sitting down there listening to somebody else about all these changes. And you know, there are gadgets out there that people have. Chances are you've got one in your household somewhere, I would imagine. What about these here? Nintendo, Xbox Live, and computer games. You know, hands up, again, more the younger ones, I think. Who's got a PS3 in the house? A couple of brave ones there. Who's an Xbox person? The Xbox has it here. What about Wii's? Anybody got a Wii? Quite a few Wii's there as well. Now, do you know, these are computer games. And people think, well, I've just got a computer game and I've got a PS3. And as parents here tonight, do you think your child is sitting there in the bedroom playing their game on their Wii, on their Xbox, or on their PlayStation? But in our line of work, in the child abuse unit, do you know, if we have got people grooming children, they're using the Xbox Live system, they're using the PlayStation system, they're using these games to befriend children. 13, 14, 15-year-olds. They befriend them, they become their friends, they can chat online, even in these games. They want to know where they live, what do? They can send images through cameras on these systems, they can get into the households. These are not standalone systems. Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo don't want these systems to be used in your home solely for your home. As soon as you buy one, if it connects to the web, the chances are that young people want to use them to connect to the web, even these computer systems, these game consoles. And we're using, seizing these on probably on a monthly basis and getting those examined through the content. They've also got hard drives in them. They can store information. They can store images as well. And we find that many young people and we're using these to store a lot of stuff on as well. Just to be aware, and young people, to know if you're using these, to know I've got one in the house as well. Just be sensible what you use it for. Never, ever, ever befriend somebody online you don't know who they are. It's very dangerous out there. To know if you know who your friends are and you play with them, by all means do that. But there's people out there who want to become your friends who will say they're 15, 16, you're maybe 35 years of age, on the hunt to see if they can get you and catch you. And what happens once they do find people later on. TVs as well. New thing at the moment, smart TVs. We're finding that if you go to Currys now, I remember again the old box set that we had, the Toshiba ones, are now these slimline TVs we've got. But even the slimline TVs are all now becoming smart. You go to Currys today and want to buy a 32-inch, 42-inch TV, chances are it's going to have a camera built into it now from last year onwards. It's going to be a smart TV, which means whenever you put it in your household, if your house has got Wi-Fi in it, it connects to the Wi-Fi. And again, they don't want you to be watching TV with it. They want to control your life with it. If you've got Facebook and you're watching TV, and these TVs at the moment, all your Facebook friends will pop up when they're online. You're watching a program on TV, and they're popping up. Twitter account pops up as well. Instagram pictures in the corner coming up as well. You know, the TV's talking back to you. It knows exactly what you're after, because you're putting in all your details when you bought that TV and what accounts you have out there, what you're using. And then we're finding more and more of that at the moment. And all the TVs, once we have to replace the TVs these days, will be a smart TV in the future. And lastly, for the devices, Raspberry Pi. Anybody know, any of the young ones know what Raspberry Pi is? No hands at the moment. Yeah, a couple of hands there. We're finding, from the peace point of view again, that's wee things. Again, for parents to be more aware of, people don't have to have phones, computers, big computers, laptops like this one here to connect to the internet. This is taking off big style in America. It's coming to Northern Ireland as well. We're seeing more and more of that in the schools doing that. Children, young people can set a computer up like that there. It comes in a wee card, like the size of my hand, and that gets online. All you need is a screen, a monitor, or a TV. Plug it into that there, and you have to have either a mouse or a keyboard, and there you go, you're online. And many young people are using those. £20 buys that and gets you online. Just be careful what young people have in the household. If they are engaged in activity they shouldn't be engaged in, and sometimes it's not quite as obvious. Schools are using these. They're doing some schoolwork on that too. You know, and it's not all bad. You know, they're used for good things. But just to be aware today of what is out there. There's a couple of kids there playing with a computer they made. Again, this computer has got no storage facility. You can't store anything on it. But what you can do is you can access any website you want and go online and use online storage if you want to. So just be aware. So that's sort of... Sorry, I'm using two things here. I apologise. So that's the children there, using, see the size of the screen. So again, what does the Bible say? It says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. It's important, again, all our communication, young and old here today, to edify God and glorify God in all we do. If we are in school, guys, talking to people, and we're not glorifying God in the way, you know, maybe we're angry at somebody in school and we call them names, we shouldn't be doing that, we call them all sorts of things, you know, walk away from that. You know, God calls us to glorify people and edify people. And again, whether that is on a one-to-one basis, whether it's on the telephone, whether it's over a smartphone, whether it's over an email, you know, it doesn't change. It's still communication. As Christians especially, you know, if there's nothing good to say, don't say it at all. God's words, not my words. So, what about the dangers of social media? I've mentioned what we need to get online. You have to have a smartphone or a computer or an Apple iPad or any sort of PC device. But what about the dangers? One thing that we're seeing more and more is sexting with young people. Now, what is sexting? Sexting is a text that contains sexually explicit material, sexual words in it. It can be a photograph, a nude image of a person. And you might think here, that doesn't happen at all. And we get phone calls day and daily with that through social services, principals in schools, headmasters, teachers, phoning us, youth leaders, church leaders sometimes as well. Happens out there, happens even within churches at times. Do you know, it says there, a mistake you can never take back. Young people are sexting and taking images of other out there. Here's the law, guys. It says any person who makes, possesses, distributes an indecent image is guilty of an offence. An indecent image is a sexual photograph or a video of a person under 18. If you're under 18 years of age, under 18, and you take a picture of yourself and make a picture or pose or a video, it's an indecent image. The minute you click that phone and you take that picture of yourself, you have committed an offence. It's imprisonable. You can go to prison for it. You can be arrested for it. And you've committed the offence. If you keep it on your phone, you've committed two offences. You've made it. You've possessed it. And if you've sent it to somebody else, you've committed a third offence. You've distributed it. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people in Northern Ireland every day making, sending, and keeping indecent images of themselves. It seems to be the latest craze at the moment. And we can't keep track of it. It used to be our department used to deal with it. You know, we can't. Our team of 9 detectives cannot deal with it. You know, it goes again out to different neighbourhood teams in the community. We haven't got the manpower to look at it. And there's just so much of it goes on. There's other offences too. We're finding young people, 13, 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds out there, asking other 11-year-olds to go into the bathroom and do things and take a picture of things and send it to them. There's other offences there too, inciting a child to engage in sexual activity. You know, you open up a floodgate of criminal offences. But you know, it's not just criminal offences, we're breaking God's law as well, and I'm going to show you a few verses later on again about that. Sexting, those are some figures. Sorry, I'll keep on. In fact, I'm going to leave them here down. I don't know if you can read that or not, some of the figures there. 50% of young people in the UK have admitted sexting. Some, either a picture or a text. It's pretty much split evenly between boys and girls, not a big difference there. They say they're as young as 13, but we see it in our work, even 9, 10-year-olds at some stages. Why 9 and 10-year-olds have mobile phones, I don't know. But it happens out there with them, and it's going on. 50% of people who admit sending them. I'll leave it to your own discretion. It might be a lot more than that than we maybe know. Guys, if you're involved in it, and I hope you're not, before you press, think twice of where that image goes to. You know, sexting, strike a pose, press, send it, regret it forever. Last week, I mean, Leslie talked to her about Banbridge Academy. Another schoolgirl, again, came through our office. Another schoolgirl, 12 years of age, went into a site called Ovo or Uvo. Met a guy there, chat room. Guy asked for an image. She did it, sent it. Sent it to that person there, and by mistake, sent it to every single person on her friends list as well in Northern Ireland. And again, there's about 50 people got it in Northern Ireland. Once it's out there, guys, it's out there. It can't be got back again. Coming to the police, asking for help. We can do so much. Of course we can. But we can't get all the images back. It says there, and that one there, I don't know if you can see it, but 50% or 40% of images end up in adult hands. 13 to 17-year-olds send these images. You never know who gets it. You send something from your phone out there into the social media realm. Out there, it's out there. If you send it to one person within a second, that person can send it to 500 people within another second, and within 10 minutes, who knows where it all goes at. It ends up, we don't know. Images, that's all about images. You know, be careful, guys, in what you do. In fact, don't do it. But then language, that's another thing. You know, we come across, again, as youth leaders, be aware of it as parents. You need to be aware of it too. Because we've got the internet, we've got English and all these different nationalities we've got across around the world. But this social media has developed a whole other different mindset and language. A lot of it's acceptable, it's fine, there's no issue with it. LOL, laugh out loud, or is it love you lots or something as well, possibly. But a lot of it's innocent. But a lot of it's not innocent. You know, some of the codes that we're coming across when we seize mobile phones, we're looking at them and have to work out what they actually mean. Here's some of the things that we see, again, on a daily basis, phones that we seize. See for sex, for example. PIR, parent in room. You know, if you walk into your room and your son or daughter's on that, and you see these codes, you know they're up to no good. PLOS, parent looking over shoulder. GYPO, get your pants off. You know, you can see the rest there as well. You know, young people don't want parents to know what's going on. They're hiding that from the parents. So they've got this language, these codes, these abbreviations, so that we don't know exactly what's going on. And quite often young people enjoy doing what they're doing, even though it's offences. They don't see it as offences. They don't see it as breaking the law. It's a bit of fun for them. That's what we find most of the time. When we go out to the homes and the parents want us to talk sternly to the children and the kids are going to know, it's only fun. I don't care. I've mentioned it out there, I don't really mind. It's a bit of fun. A bit of fun now for you, maybe. But in years to come, when you get a bit older, you realise that it wasn't so much fun. But as I said, you know, it doesn't just go on out there. It goes on in schools. It does go on in churches as well. There was a verse there in the Bible. What do ye know? Ye know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You know, God says that our bodies are temples. You know, as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives inside us. You know, don't be sending indecent images around. Regardless of what man's law says, the Holy Scripture also talks about it as well. It says you here too, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We've got responsibilities as Christians. And the very start I read out, be holy as I am holy. That includes being holy with your body as well. So stop sexting. You know, I'm not saying anybody here is doing it, but if you know somebody in school who's doing it, talk to them, guys. Tell them it's wrong, shouldn't be doing it. You're breaking the law. If you're under 18, you're breaking the law. And it should stop now. As youth leaders and parents, just be aware of those things of sexting. Another thing we come across is cyberbullying. And again, when I was at school, you know, there was a bit of bullying went on. Not with me, thankfully. But, you know, out there, people were getting bullied. But in my day, you could go home. And if you were bullied at school, you could maybe go home and get some sort of respite from it before you went back to school again. Now, all bullying is wrong and shouldn't happen. We know that. But today, children can be bullied at school. Young people can be bullied at school. They come home, they go online, and the bullying doesn't stop. Keeps on going on and on and on. Why? Because the world is coming into your house. Cyberbullying, it's use of electronic communication to use or bully a person. That's what it's used as. And Leslie touched on that. Like, it's harassment that goes on out there. And if it gets more serious, we can become involved as well, possibly, with it. But we're finding a lot of young people are being bullied out there. Bullied at school, bullied at home, bullied online, on the internet. You know, words can really pack a punch, it says there. You know, no one likes you, you're ugly. People have these apps, which we're going to look at again in a few months' time, what we need to get online. But, you know, people want to have as many friends as possible. And all these things, it's all about friends and building up friends list online. And, you know, some young people will invite anybody just to look popular when it comes to it. And they're inviting their wrong people, or maybe they're not getting the friends they need. Another form of bullying as well. They want people to be their friends and people won't befriend them. They have no friends online. You know, just another we add there, you know, about sticks and stones, you know, break bones, but words will never hurt me. Remember that phrase there? You know, words can hurt. Words do hurt. And quite often, we again see it, and I see it, and Leslie sees it too, that young people in Northern Ireland decide to take their lives and commit suicide. A lot of it because of bullying that goes on. Not so much anymore in the school or in the play park, but at home, in their bedroom, when they're online. Do you know your child as a parent? Are they happy? Has their mood changed? Is there anything different with them? You know, just be aware, again, out there, of how you respond to your child. What does the Bible say? You know, If you are being bullied here, speak to somebody. Speak to somebody. You know, speak to us afterwards. Speak to a parent. And again, hope it doesn't happen. But the Bible says, you know, we have to stand up. You know, and God teaches different things. The Lord says, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge from times of trouble. You know, turn to God. If anybody's having a difficulty, turn to God. Turn to God's word. You know, let God speak to you. This is difficult at times, but it also says that, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them. Bless them that curse you. Do good things. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. Do you know, it can be difficult sometimes to love an enemy, to pray for an enemy. But you know, if you have an enemy, especially the young ones again, you know, if you are getting bullied, whether it's at home or at school, you know, pray for the person. It's difficult, but pray for the person. You know, turn to God as a refuge as well. So we've looked at sexting, images that goes on out there. We've looked at bullying that goes on, the consequences, the sad consequences of young people taking their lives, which happens out there as well. Another thing is child sexual exploitation. And that is really, you know, people targeting young people. Does it happen? Yes, it does happen. You know, because we deal with it again on a weekly basis in our office. Online grooming. It's older men and women at times targeting younger people for sex. You know, that's what they want. And young people are befriending them. And we'll show the apps in a wee second here. Meeting these people, getting to know them, and are getting sexually involved with these people. And again, we go out and we arrest these people, we bring them in, we seize their computers, their phones, and it's actively taking part in Northern Ireland. You know what happens in Northern Ireland? You know, just recognise the dangers. Are your children coming home depressed? Are the young people depressed? Are they coming home with money in their pockets which they shouldn't have? Some of them come home and be drunk. Where are they getting the drink from? Possibly drugs as well. You know, we always think it happens to people outside of there. But these people, again, are coming in using Facebook at times to target young people, to meet with them. You know, don't turn a blind eye to it. Speak to somebody, especially if you're a young person here today. You know, if you have been asked to meet an older person, speak to somebody. Don't do it. Talk to somebody. It says there again in the scriptures, always like to turn to the scriptures, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, nobody said Christianity is going to be easy. And as Christians, the devil wants to destroy you and me. Whatever means is possible. You know, and if we give him the tools in our house, and the Wi-Fi, and the computers, and he can target our young people, then he'll target our young people. He will destroy our young people, because at times they're easy targets. And that's what we're finding. Young people out there are getting groomed. Or people are targeting them, meeting them, and end up in places they shouldn't be. But how are they doing it? What are they using to do it? We've mentioned the computers, we've mentioned what goes on out there, and then very briefly look at a few programs they use. Facebook, you know, it's actually now over 1.3 billion users. I've already asked who uses Facebook here. I've got Facebook. Do you know, we in church use it, our praise group use it, our youth use it as well. It's a brilliant tool for advertising events, getting out there and doing it right. But it also, you need to be very careful of how you use it as well. Do you know, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, when he invented Facebook, do you know, he didn't want Facebook just to be your Facebook. It constantly is changing, and he wants to constantly open up your Facebook so others can get into it. It's all got to do with advertising as well and money. And I was at a Facebook campaign there, a Facebook meeting about 3 months ago in Belfast, and they had the CEO from Facebook in Dublin up speaking to us. And he said, you know, they keep on changing these security settings so that whenever you log on, people have more and more access to you. Notice that if you're on Facebook, that every 3 months it says new security settings, because chances are you're trying to remain private, but they're trying to deprivatize you and change those settings. So, certainly nothing wrong with Facebook, in my opinion. Others might have different views with it. But certainly, if you're going to have it, keep it very, very private. Check your settings on Facebook. If you haven't seen Facebook before, it's really a site that you can post pictures on, you can talk to people, you can also have private chats as well. Just be aware of that too. to know when it's, and anybody really can see that front page unless you've got really, really tight private settings. And as I said, they keep on trying to change those settings on a monthly basis. And there's a lot of young people on it. The law states, even on Facebook, it says you need to be 13 years of age to be on Facebook. Facebook reckons there's probably 6 million under 13s on it. And again, every week we're getting phone calls from parents into our office saying, my son or daughter were approached by a male on Facebook. We have concerns. This male has asked this person to meet them. My son and daughter's 9, 10, 11. And we're going, why are they even on Facebook? If they're on Facebook at 9, 10, 11, 12, they have physically put on a false date of birth. Facebook won't accept you unless you're 13 or above. And if you have a son or daughter who's under 13 as on Facebook, they've broken the law by putting on a false date of birth on their site. Just to be aware of it. But there are 6 million that we know of, Facebook knows of young people under 13 who are on Facebook. If Facebook finds out, they will take their account off you and close it down. But every day there's more and more young people under 13 trying to access it as well. There's the privacy settings there. So to keep on changing, you can have them set where only your friends can see you and see your activity, which is how mine is set. But as I said, just be very careful of how it is set up as well. I find that you can see there that over the last few years, more and more young people have left Facebook. Millions have left Facebook. And the boss in Dublin has told us he's not really too worried about that there because they're going to come back again. When he was asked why they all were leaving Facebook, do you know what the answer was? Why do you think all the young people between 13 and 17 at the moment are all leaving Facebook? Who do you think is going on Facebook? Parents are going on to Facebook and the young people are leaving Facebook. That's where they're leaving. That figure, 13 to 17, was a lot higher a few years ago. And it's getting lower and lower and lower. They're trying to get on devices and apps where parents aren't on at the moment. They don't want parents to see what they're up to. If I was a young person, I wouldn't want to see my parents. Don't want to get involved in me too. You know, it's the young people know best attitude at times with the young folk out there. A lot of young people are leaving Facebook. Facebook's not too concerned because they see those young people whenever they're 25, 30 again, coming back to them again in the future. But that's just something, again, to be aware of. Different apps out there on their phones and the computers. There's BlackBerry, Skype, Twitter. You recognise some of that, some of the young folk out there. These are all apps out there that you can communicate. You can phone people around, generally free of charge, send text messages, send images. WhatsApp, one of the top ones for young people at the moment that we're finding. Used to be the text and the phone. Now they're using WhatsApp. Who uses WhatsApp on their phone? I think it's a good spot as well. I know quite a few people. It's good to use. Again, I have it. Can be used well. You can set up different groups with it. You can have different groups. But again, what we're finding is that these men and women are targeting people. And these maybe 13, 14, 15-year-old adults are getting together and befriending somebody and they're bringing it into their WhatsApp application. And again, chatting to them, grooming them, telling them how they like them and want to meet them. And they'll give them presents, give them money, buy them sweets, get them different places. So just be aware of that too. Facebook bought WhatsApp there for $19 billion a few years ago. So we had Facebook at the start. Facebook, again, has bought WhatsApp. Big company, Facebook, wants to control the social media and wants to control your life. Who recognises this here? Who can shout out what that is? What do you think that is? Snapchat. Yeah. Another one that we're finding difficulty with, especially in our unit, when it comes to sending images. Again, if you've used Snapchat, companies are getting smarter. They know that young people don't want parents to see what they're doing. So if you send an image on WhatsApp, the chances are it's on your phone and it's another person's phone. And if you see it, if the parents go through it, they'll see these things. Snapchat a few years ago came in, an American company, and a young fella, he's only a teenager, made this Snapchat program. And what you do is you take a picture on Snapchat on your phone. You then send it to somebody, and you can set the different times on it of when it's deleted. That can be 1 second up to roughly 10 seconds. So as soon as you take a picture on your phone and send it, it deletes itself from your phone. There's no trace of it. It then goes to your friend who you've sent it, and if they press their wee button or hold a screen on their phone, it sits there for 1 second, 2 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever time you've sent it to, and it then deletes it. So what we find is whenever parents were told that the young kids came in crying because they'd sent images on Snapchat, we were seizing these phones, we couldn't get them back. They weren't there. There's no evidence of it for us. Now, there was also probably no evidence in the other phone. But what we're finding now is that there was a way that these smartphones, you can actually take a screenshot, it's called, of the image on your phone. It gets very technical here. But if somebody sends you an image or a photograph and it's on your device, you can take a photograph of it. So even if you've got 3 seconds, if you're quick enough, you can take a picture of the picture that was sent. And before you know it, young folk, it's out there. You know, if you're using Snapchat, you'll know it anyway with it. Again, we're finding young people are using these devices, and once the image is out there, it's out there. And who do you think saw that and wanted it? Facebook. People are using it, young people are using it. And Mark Zuckerberg, he said, look, if the young people are using it, I need it, I want it. They offered the owner or the maker of that $3 billion, I think it was last year, and he's turned it down. He didn't want it. He said no to it. Then another app, Photograph. In fact, that's what I'm talking about there, Facebook. You take the pictures and send them through on Facebook to your friends lists when you're on it. What about that one there? Instagram, another photo app which young people are using out there. Taking photographs, storing them. Generally speaking, there's no problem with it. But there are images out there on Instagram as well which people are looking at. You need to be careful what you post when you're out there. Who wants to buy Instagram? Facebook. They know recently offered $1 billion for Instagram. Facebook wants to control all the social media sites that are popular at the moment. They want to have full control of it. And if they do buy them, and they've bought quite a few recently, they want anybody to have access to your account. Vine, another one that young people are using. It's a video application where people can leave videos. It's owned by Twitter. We know there's pornographic material out there. Again, young people, if you're using it, you know, really, do you have to use it? You should be staying away from it, in my opinion. People post videos on there. Again, as parents, youth leaders, just be aware of what's out there. You have to download it from the App Store and iTunes. You have to be 17 years of age to download it. But a lot of young people, when we're seizing phones from them, again, 13, 14 years of age, they've got this Vine app on it, which, again, opens the gateway to a whole pile of videos that are certainly not for a Christian soul. And then any of the really young ones, there's no really young ones here, but again, there's really young online games out there for young children. And paedophiles, sex offenders that we deal with, go online, pretend to be 5, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and will target young boys and girls in those games. And again, Omegle, another site we're coming with at the moment, which again, you shouldn't be going anywhere near, to be honest. But these are sites that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't heard of. I could probably spend 20 minutes just giving you more sites, recent ones over the last week, that we're coming across, and I'm purposely not going to do that. I don't want to let the young people go into these sites, but there's a lot of these sites coming across now where people, young people especially, are jumping because they know parents, the police, other leaders are on these sites. Almost finished, but geotagging, I wanted to mention that as well. What is geotagging? You might think you've got a Facebook account or a Twitter account or an Instagram account, and you think, I'm going to keep it private and I'm going to send my picture out, and I'll keep it within reams and nobody know where I am. As long as I'm careful, as long as I don't tell them at what school I'm at or where my house is, I'll be fine, I'll be okay. So you take those pictures in your home, use your phone, you get your iPhone out, or your Samsung phone, you take a picture and you put it out there. Your mum and dad's told you not to wear your school uniform because people will see what school you go to, so you're careful, you take that off to make sure they can't see that. But you know, all the smartphones now have the built-in cameras, and all the smartphones record exactly and tag exactly where the picture was taken, give the longitude and latitudes and the GPS and the phones. Every smartphone now has a GPS system with it. I don't know if you can see that there. If you look at the photographs, it logs in the photograph of where you take that photograph from. Again, offenders that we deal with, that could access these photographs will have access to the data in the photographs and will go to schools, go to homes, stand outside homes. We arrest people that have done that and do that. Only because of a photograph that was taken in the house and is sent to the wrong person. And before you know it, it doesn't take too much computer skill to work out where that photograph is taken. You know, then plot it on the graph and find out exactly where the photograph is taken, what school they go to, what restaurant they go to, what route they take, where their home is. You know, you can disable that on your smartphone. If you go into your settings, you go under your camera settings on your smartphone, you can take that off. I've taken that off mine. You know, if you haven't taken it off, just be very careful. You know, if you're not taking photographs on your phone, you're fine. But especially younger ones here, if you're taking photographs and putting them out there on Instagram, on Facebook, every photograph leaves a trace unless you disable it in your camera. You know, and if the wrong person wants to get up and meet with you, it's easy done these days with information. A couple more slides and I'll finish. One that came in a meeting there a couple of weeks ago, which opened my eyes a wee bit as well. Tinai, who's there of Tinai? Probably not so many. Obvious. Tinai is a fairly new program. It's like Google. We've all used Google to search. If you want to search for McDonald's, close to McDonald's and Google, it'll bring up as a search engine. Tinai is a search engine for photographs. What you do is you upload a photograph. At the moment, it's got 10 billion photographs in its database, and every day there's millions added to it. So if you upload a photograph of you in a school uniform, it'll pick up potentially your logo and it will put away and bring you back hundreds of pictures of you, your school, anything related. So what these offenders are doing now is they don't even have to look at your GPS thing anymore. If you've got a photograph and it's getting that far, if you're in a hotel room, if you're down at the Culloden in Belfast and you take a picture in the corridor, it will recognise the carpet in the corridor and you put it in there and it'll bring it back to Culloden Hotel. That's how good it is. Now, don't be trying it. You can try it if you want. I mean, Tinai, you can upload the picture. If you upload a picture of that one there, it doesn't store it. There's another one, Google Images, is very similar as well. If you upload to Google Images, it keeps your picture and stores it. So all you're doing is feeding them more database stuff. Tinai, at the moment, doesn't save it. Be very careful with these if you are trying it, which is why I haven't purposely told you all the sites that people are using at the moment, because I don't want people going out there and using them and trying them. But you know, you think you're safe, but there's companies out there developing even faster than we can keep up with. And you know, this can be used, I suppose, for good things too. If you have a picture online and it looks lovely, you don't know where it is, it looks fantastic, you know, just save it online, go to Tinai, upload it, and Tinai will tell you within seconds where it is. All comes up. It's all there. So it can be used for good stuff, but it can also be used for the worst stuff as well. Right, lastly, iCloud and Dropbox again. These computers at the moment, this one here has got a hard drive. It's not very big. It's a very thin laptop. It's about 120 megs of hard drive. The computers these days, a lot of them are coming with less and less hard drive space because what they want to do is anything that's saved is saved out there in the cloud. That's a problem from the police point of view. Whenever people save images, especially sex offenders that we deal with or paedophiles, that if they have got images, quite often it's not stored in our computer, it's stored out there in cyberspace. Now these Dropboxes, as you call them, and these terminals where they save, and these hard drives that are out there, quite often are in China or Vietnam, where we have no control over. So if an image of yours goes into the wrong hands and they save it to the Dropbox out there, to know it's gone, we can't get it back. It also means that if we're going out and seizing computers, quite often there's nothing on them. And we're finding more and more of that at the moment. And I can imagine in possibly 5-6 years' time that you'll be getting computers for about £20 with nothing in them because they want you to spend £12 a month to have a Dropbox or an iCloud account to put all your stuff in, put your documents in, put your photographs in, keep everything out there. It means that you can go anywhere in the world and access them, which is the good thing. But the bad thing is that there's nothing physical anymore in your home. It's out there. But what is out there? Do you know, is it all good stuff or is it the stuff that shouldn't be out there? This shows you how it's really done. A couple of verses I'll leave you with. It says, watch ye and pray lest you enter into the temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, those verses there I've left with you is, maybe there's somebody here tonight who isn't a Christian, who's involved in sinful things. We're all born sinners. Do you know, God tells us there's nothing too bad that has been done that he can't forgive. Do you know, he died on the cross and bled for all of our sins if we trust in him. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done silly things on your computer, especially young people, and things that you maybe regret and are sinful. Do you know, now's the time to turn to God. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight and saying, look, you need to get right with God. There's no sin too great for God to forgive. Then I'm going to hang around afterwards for a wee while if you want. Sure, Leslie will too, for a few minutes for any questions, if you might have them. I flew through that one there quite quickly tonight, because I know there's a bit of a time constraint here. As I said, you know, I have Facebook, I've got Instagram, I use it, I communicate to my brothers and my family, and it's a great tool. I'm not here with a big stick, but we need to be careful what we use it for and how it's used, and just to draw attention of, you know, how it could be used for the wrong reasons, and just keep on protecting our young people when we're out there. God bless you all. Okay.